Seth Killian.
Indeed, yes.
Cool. All right, so to kick things off, I mean, I think most people who are into fighting games will have known your name prior to, you know, yourself joining Capcom as an escort, as it were. So, I mean, how did you get the job at Capcom? I mean, how did it come about?
It's a very unusual story. So I think sometimes people ask me because they want to try and get into the industry, and I haven't got a story that really anybody can... it's not a good path, but it's sort of an interesting story. So basically, just while we were running tournaments... So I had quite a different career. I used to teach philosophy at university, and we'd just go by E3 every year and go to the Capcom booth, because that's where we'd meet up with some friends. And while I was there, one of my friends was saying, hey, you should go and ask Capcom, see if we can get some tournaments or some keychains and posters and whatnot for our tournament. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. So we got, you know, a bunch of your biggest fans coming in from around the world. You know, we get some keychains or posters or whatever you guys might have. And they basically told me to get lost, so take a hike, weirdo. And I was like, okay, cheers, you know, I'll see you later. And I came back, you know, I think it was the third year I came by and had the same question, and they introduced me to some, there were different people now working at Capcom US, and they basically asked me to run a tournament for them, which we did, with Mr. Wizard as well. And as it turned out, they ended up offering me a job because they decided they wanted to get more involved with their fans and figure out what that would be, but they didn't really know how to start. And they said, well, you seem to know some of our fans. And I said, yeah, I know a few. And, I'm a pretty big Capcom fan in general, as well as the fighting games. So I've been looking for something new because I was, you know, sort of an okay teacher, but it wasn't from my heart. And but what sold me was they also mentioned, and by the way, we've just greenlit a game. Development will be beginning in 3 months, called Street Fighter 4, and we think when you might be involved. You might be able to be involved with that. And so I said, okay, that's it. This is what I've been waiting for.
And,
so.
How many times have people asked you how have you gotten into Capcom? I know
the first. A few, but it's I don't mind telling it. I'm happy to, you know, it's a strange story, and hopefully it's amusing to somebody.
Sure, and I'm guessing this here at SVB, this is the first, I guess, UK tournament you've attended.
It is. It's not the first time I've played Street Fighter in the UK, but it's been about 10 years since I've been here. So it's basically brand new. The scene is obviously radically different.
I mean, have you been to any other tournaments in Europe? Or?
No. So this is, again, I haven't been to Europe at all, really, in a very long time.
Right.
So this is new to me, but hopefully not the last time.
I mean, how do you find, you know, I mean, obviously you're an Evo veteran, as it were. You've seen it grow into the tournament it is now today.
Sure.
I mean, how do you find this kind of event, how it compares to Evo? I mean, what do you think is great? What do you think is not so great?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's just a matter of getting people together with a good feeling in the room, and, you know, you have people that are willing to do the hard work of organizing and making everything behind the scenes work right, and finding the space and getting all the equipment here. It's not easy, but it's important work. So this seems fantastic. I was really impressed.
I mean, what do you think makes for a great tournament? I mean, because, you know, so many people try their own tournaments, and, you know, sometimes sessions go into bigger tournaments. I mean, what do you think the one key thing is?
You know, it's hard to say. It just takes dedication from the organizers and making sure that the event always comes first. So I think a lot of times the people that have run into trouble once in a while is they're a bit too ambitious. So it's hard for me to say don't be ambitious with your tournament, and throwing a tournament at all is ambitious. But I guess I would like people to, you know, make sure you keep the tournament first. So don't worry about necessarily having a famous guest or having some sort of massive prize or some sort of fancy whatever. Just keep the tournament first and foremost. Make sure your brackets are running as efficiently as you can. Make sure everything's fair and the players themselves as a group are having a good time. And I think you'll be successful.
Sure. As someone who's kind of graduated from a player to, I guess, someone who, like, almost oversees the scene in a very official capacity, I mean, do you almost envy the days back when you were a player? Do you ever want to get stuck in there yourself?
Very much. So it's been very hard for me to make the transition to sort of hang up the guns, as it were, and sort of give up the competitive end to try and focus more on... Because what I found, especially working on Evo as it grew, I had a choice, basically, to either do sort of a half-assed job of organizing the event and not being on top of the things you need to be on top of, or doing a half-assed job as a player, and you end up doing both if you try and focus on both things, because, as you guys know, you know, focusing on a tournament, it takes a lot of concentration. Yeah. And you got to be in the right place, and that's hard enough even if you're not thinking about anything other than playing. But if you're thinking about organizing the event as well, you just end up doing a bad job on both departments. And so that was very, very difficult for me. So I just made the decision. I think my future is with the organizing, and I'm going to let a new generation of players come and do their thing.
Yeah, I guess you kind of get a different kind of pressure. I mean, you're not necessarily a fighting game tournament player anymore, but you're the one Capcom wants to show off, Street Fighter to the press, etc. And you're the one who has to find a character, find combos to show off to the press, etc.
Indeed, that's not a hard part. So, I mean, getting to work on the games, like, from the beginning is a ton of fun. So I get to, discover things and then, help push things in interesting directions. But, showing it off to the press is just the icing on the cake.
Hopefully
I don't drop it, drop my combo or something.
How do you convince the cynical one? Because I know with the press, fighting game enthusiasts in the press aren't, I'm one of the rare ones, I guess, but there aren't too many. So how do you convince the cynical ones, look, this game's awesome, you should play it?
Well, I do my best to just be honest. So, the game is awesome, but I don't try and pretend that it's anything that it's not. It is a fighting game. Fighting games are hard, and I also try and be upfront about the fact that maybe this isn't for everybody. But I do think that we try and make the best fighting games that we can, and that there is a way for even people that haven't traditionally played fighting games to get interested. So really, I guess the essence of my sales pitch is really that it comes down is just the quality of the games themselves, and it's the message that what you put into it is what you're going to get out. And that's so rare in games that, you talk about replay value. How many hours of fighting games have you played? Thousands, I'm sure. And, as much as you might like a BioShock or an Assassin's Creed or something like that, you're just not going to get that kind of playtime out of those games. You're not going to have the same experience. And so this is a game, Street Fighter especially, with such an amazing legacy, such an amazing worldwide scene that's bonded players together from around the world. These guys are excited about this for a reason. It's not just nostalgia or we really like Chun-Li's thighs or something nonsensical like that. It's, they're great. But it's about the game itself. Like, it's a really amazing experience in gaming. So I actually think it's disappointing to me that more gaming journalists aren't excited about it, because to me they're not just great games, it's one of the crowning achievements of gaming, like that we have such an amazing experience that can be so engaging and so rich, not just from a technical perspective but mentally. You learn a lot about yourself playing these games, which is to me just sort of endlessly interesting, which is why I watch this stuff like sports.
Sure, and I guess the flip side of that is obviously when you have fighting game enthusiasts, some of them can be very cynical and, point out the flaws per se. I mean, how does Capcom deal with that when, you have guys being vocals on message boards and YouTube, etc.?
Well, we've really made an effort to try and make those message boards a good place to tell us that stuff, because at least speaking for myself, I want to know. I want to know if we're making a product that's not what people want, or it's not the best it could be, because, they're fans and they can get very narrowly focused on one particular thing, but that's what makes these games sing, is those little details. And for me, people can say it's just complaining or whatever, but these are the people who pay our salaries. They're fans, but they're consumers. They're the people who are keeping us in business. So if we're not making products that they're happy about, then we're doing it wrong.
I mean, have there been any changes that have happened in either Super Street Fighter 4 or even Marvel vs. Capcom 3 that have come out as a result of, people vocalizing their
complaints? Loads. So, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, we're still in the process, so I think you'll see more and we'll have a better conversation about that next year, I hope. But basically, almost every feature that was added to Super Street Fighter 4 was the result of direct fan feedback. So from the rebalancing to the additional characters that we added in, to the new modes that we put in the game, and to another refocusing on the netcode and things like that. The transition from Street Fighter 4 to Super Street Fighter 4, of course, with Street Fighter 4, the original, we also let fans pick a couple of the characters and give feedback in those kinds of great places as well, because we tried to bring the game out as much as we could, just around. I know that wasn't as much in the UK at that time, but we really did, at least where I could, to bring out the game as much as possible, let people get their hands on it and tell us what they thought. But basically, everything that changed from Street Fighter 4 to Super Street Fighter 4 was at some level a result of fan feedback.
Sure, and why did Super Street Fighter 4 get released on consoles but not on the arcade? Obviously, traditionally, it's the other way around, so...
Yeah, well, basically, it was just sort of a matter of dev cycles, and our arcade business, certainly in the U.S., is not really there. So obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but Street Fighter 4 wasn't even properly distributed in the United States. I don't know what the situation was in the U.K., but I'm sure it didn't have a major...
Pretty bad.
Yeah, the arcade situation here is not... dramatically different than it is in the U.S.
Have you been to our arcades here?
I have, actually. So not since I've been this time, but that's where I was before. So
which one?
Tropicana, was it?
Tropicana.
I believe.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty old school.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of guess the arcade we have now is Casino and Trocadero, and neither of those are particularly healthy. So
it's tough. So, you know, it's you want to make sure that the product is successful, because no matter what, if you make incredible game, but nobody has a chance to play it, that's not going to be a good business, because at the end of the day, it's a business. So you can't keep in business that way. But I couldn't detail all the intricacies of the Japanese arcade business right now, but it's been not as strong as it once was, even in Japan. But they're still trying to make some moves. So hopefully, you know, with the addition or the announcement of arcade Super Street Fighter 4, we'll have something for those players to get excited about as well.
Sure. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talk now about DLC characters. You know, fans are kind of speculating over who they'll be. When Capcom made those kind of decisions, I mean, how much care are they paying to, you know, tournaments and things like that? Because obviously the whole issue of DLC characters, you know, have some tournaments to support and some that don't, and it's kind of 50-50. I mean, I guess my question is, how much priority is Capcom looking at, how much care is Capcom looking at tournaments? I'm not wording this very well at all.
But. Yeah, no, I understand your point. I don't think they really make a huge distinction. So when it comes down to things like character selection, that wouldn't really be a question. That wouldn't really affect our decisions about, the tournament scene wouldn't, as far as I could understand it, wouldn't necessarily affect our decisions. I haven't heard anybody talk that way. But as far as like the details of the characters themselves, the way they play, balance, of course, is a major priority for us. So that is all driven by tournament feedback and seeing what the players themselves have done at tournaments. So, you know, that's how we made some changes to Sagat, going from vanilla Street Fighter 4 to Super Street Fighter 4. Just watching the results spoke for themselves.
Yeah, sure. But by all the play you've seen here today, I mean, I'm guessing you've seen some of the UK players play Super Street Fighter 4, have you? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Because obviously, I don't know, you know, if you're caught up talking to people here or how it goes there.
It's been a lot of talking, so I haven't seen as much.
Yeah, I'm guessing you have a lot of people kind of come up to you and go, wow, it's Seth, you know? I mean,
it's more like, hey, you know what you need to fix? You know,
really?
Yeah, it's a lot of that, but that's what I'm here to do. I mean, you know, I'm happy to chat with anybody who just wants to talk about games in general or, you know, some specific things as well. But it's, you know.
Do you find that kind of strange? I mean, again, like, you've started off playing these games and now you're in a position where people who play the games themselves are coming up to you and saying, oh my God, it's Seth.
Oh, well, I don't know how many of them say that. But it is quite strange. I just try not to think about it because I'm not always somebody that really likes a spotlight, so it's been that's always, I'm still not used to it, but if they're happy, I'm happy. And you know, the way I always think about it is I think about myself at like when I was, you know, maybe 18 or something, and if I could have had a chance to talk to somebody from Capcom who was, you know, able to do things with these games, that would have been an amazing experience for me. I would have been super excited to do that. So any chance I have to be that person for somebody else is valuable to me.
Yeah, I mean, I know Pedro was scared seeing you come over the road and saying, hey, ask him to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Pedro and shy side came back out. But I was getting off track, but my original question was going to be, just judging by what you've seen today of the UK players playing Super Street Fighter 4, do you notice any difference in the styles of play or the characters used compared to the US?
You know what? It's a bit of a cliche, but I notice a lot of Dudley. Like, so it did seem like there was a higher representation of Dudley players here, which is cheers to England.
Cammy now.
Yeah,
like,
right. Well, you made a mistake. Cammy's quite good. So yeah, Cammy's very strong. In general style, I mean, it's. That's what's great is like you see some. It's more that I feel like individual areas will pioneer stuff about particular characters. So it's not that the style is necessarily different. It's more their investment, particularly in one character. And it's like, this is the character we're going to show off. And you know, the local scene gets behind that a bit. But the style seems to be really strong here, from what I've seen. Sure. I think I've seen some of the late ends of the tournament, so maybe the first round was ugliness, but the players who've emerged here at the end are all quite strong.
The first round in the UK is always ugliness. You just want to watch, you know, the finals, not the first round per se. I noticed yesterday you were doing the commentary for the UK versus France. Well, it wasn't UK versus France really; it was a team tournament.
Yeah.
It evolved into UK.
Indeed,
versus France.
I think it was Team Manchester versus the French team.
Yeah, right. I mean. Well, what kind of things do you have in the US that, I guess, mirrors our rivalry with France? Because UK versus France goes way back to even before I started, and I'm, you know, starting to grey a bit. So.
Sure, yeah. It's, I mean, there's all sorts of, you name it. It's sort of, you pick the time period, and there's some sort of rivalry. So at one point, it was East Coast versus West Coast, Northern California versus Southern California, which are both very strong regions, and California is such a big state that it's easy for, you have very separate groups. US versus Japan is very strong as well. So basically, it's anybody that kicks another group's butt is like, then they become the target and something to get worried about. So I know you guys have a long political history with France to add to the fracas and the heat.
I wouldn't even say it's that complex. We just don't like them. Really.
there you go. And I think that they would. I'm sure they would agree. Yeah, but you guys are right and they're wrong. So, yeah,
absolutely. It was kind of interesting as well because you're not really, I guess, a dedicated commentator for fighting games. You know, you've kind of grown into that role. Here in the UK, we're kind of trying to find our own commentator. I know you did some commentary with Femi, and I think he's probably one of the better guys we've got for it. Well, what would you say the secret is to being a good commentator? Because so many people try it, and it's tricky.
Yeah, I it's hard for me to say because I don't... So it was after playing for a long time, I was able to think about the ways I played and write a bit about... you know, analysis of the way I played and what I saw in other people. But so I guess it's taking yourself out of yourself a bit. But I guess I haven't done that with commentary to really explain what it is that the people that like it are liking. I guess one piece of advice would just be to keep your focus on what's happening in the game. Don't get caught up. You know, it's fun to have flavor, and there's different styles of commentary. Like, I like listening to a lot of other people. I don't actually like listening to myself, but I do like listening to a lot of other people's commentary and hearing their unique perspective. So it depends on sort of what the target is. If you're talking to, you know, so guys like Chris Hu and Rockefeller on Third Strike and stuff like that have a...
Well.
They've got, yeah, right. I mean, there's so many. They've got such flavor, such strong flavor. Sometimes that gets into in-jokes and stuff like that almost nobody's going to understand. The guys that do understand it love it that much more because it's like they're talking just to you. So I guess one of the things is you sort of have to decide, am I talking just to my friends? Am I talking to the people who already know this game? So I guess wearing my Capcom hat a bit, one of the things I try and do is to try and make what I'm talking about potentially at least understandable by somebody that doesn't necessarily... play fighting games or know them in the way that, you know, guys on the Neo Empire or Shoryuken.com or any of these big fighting game sites, they would know it in a more intricate way. But I think out of that comes some sort of more general lessons that some other people don't always get to, which even if part of you kind of knows what I'm talking about already, you might not have thought about it in that same context or in that same situation, and then you can take something away. But the most interesting thing to me is also the mental game of the players. So there's a lot of people caught up in the technical details, and there's plenty of people who are better at that stuff than I am. But to me, the most interesting bit of Street Fighter and fighting games in general is what's going on in the mind of the players. And so when I have a chance to talk about that, it's sometimes hard because the match happens so fast. But if I have a chance to talk about that, that's when I'm personally happiest because I get really excited about that and thinking about that. And that, to me, is really what separates... Because, I mean, you know, a player like Daigo is not really doing anything technically that's beyond other players. I mean, his technical execution is amazing, and he's got a lot of layers in that. But it's mostly, it's mind stuff. And the other fun part about that, it's really international. It's, you know, you can get blown out mentally the same way, whether you're from the France or UK or, you know, Japan or US, it doesn't matter.
Sure. I mean, one thing, it's just interesting you mentioned Daigo, because one thing we've talked about is how Daigo kind of has, you know, his own group of fans following him around. I mean, does it surprise you to see that kind of almost cult following for the player?
You know, not really. I mean, I feel like Daigo certainly has earned it. He's been playing for such a long time and at such an amazing level, and what he does really is something pretty special. Because, again, it's not the technical excellence that separates him. It's this mental game. It's a personal balance. And finding a calm place in his mind and where he's able to do these sort of things. And I've been lucky enough to have a chance to talk with him extensively over the last couple of years especially about a lot of stuff. And just hearing him talk about the game is something I'd like to try and do more of, just because he's so... I can't say enough about how smart he is about the game. The kind of things he's thinking about, and they're kind of things that you would all... you know, anybody who plays the game would have on a list of things that matter, but the way he thinks about them dynamically and has them all... at top of mind at all times is really, it's really something truly amazing. So I think he deserves everything he gets, and you know, hopefully people don't turn it into like an idol thing, but they try and look at what he does and say, how can I, you know, take that and make my own game better as well?
I think it might be a bit too late for the idol thing, judging by the reactions.
Well, he's earned that too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he's enjoying it. Have you talked to Justin Wong about, you know, how to fight against Gamer B or anything like that?
You know, I've known Justin since he was a little kid, and you know, he's again another just truly amazing player. I haven't talked to him about it, mostly because I've just been on the road, but also, you know, I've been in a lot of tournaments myself, and after you have a tough beat, I don't want to chat about it. You know, I mean, if I come to you and tell, I have to tell about the time I blew this combo, or I totally had him, and then he did this random thing, and it beat me. And if I have a story to tell, and I need to get it off my chest, you let that person come to you. But
they do it in their own time.
Yeah, right? I don't want to. So tough match, man. Yeah. You know, no one really wants to hear that. Even you know, even some time later. So he's been back on the tournament scene and sort of renewed his vigor. He admitted he'd been off his game a bit. He'd been you know, on a reality TV show and hadn't been focusing on his fighting games like he does usually. And so I think he was personally seems to have sort of stepped up his game and is really trying to, if I may, put people on notice.
Yeah, sure.
For a phrase that I use way too much, but say, you know, don't think that this was a fluke. Don't think I'm off the top of the pile, because
sure,
I'm still right there.
To look at this from the other angle, I mean, Ryan Hart's obviously, you know, quite a well-known name in the fighting games community, and
I think
Zach from his...
Zach Bennett as well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, are there any other guys that in the UK that America has paid any real attention to?
Well, I wouldn't want to speak for America in general, but I think the viewership in general on any sort of recorded video... So for anybody that has a scene that they would like to see grow, do your best. Find good video people. They're essential, and they're not just good for sort of posterity or something. They're what puts you on the rest of the world's map. Because,
well, you mean people who are good at, you know, projecting their personality, or...
Well, no, I mean guys like you guys. So you're right, doing a podcast here, but get people to record the matches, get commentators and things like that, and that's what people like watching. I mean, I watch this like I would any other sport. In fact, I don't watch other sports as much as I mean, not even nearly. I watch, when I get on a plane, I load up, you know, 30 hours of Street Fighter matches and just sit there and watch them. And that's what I do because I enjoy it. So if you can record that stuff, it's basically the world's window into what's happening with you. So get as much of that. Now I've forgotten the question. But that's how I know the players who are here. So I don't know what everybody else in the U.S. is watching, but they're definitely very aware of these players. I heard Ryan beat Daigo earlier in the weekend with an Adalsim Ryu match, which is very tough for Ryu. So it was a smart play by smart pick by Ryan. He's a very smart player.
Sure. Well, we did have a quick fire round, but I guess it's very specific to our scene, so I'll try and adapt some of the questions on the fly. Basically, I'll ask you a question, and you give me an answer as soon as possible. So, Ryu or Ken?
4. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's, no one said that yet. I wonder why.
Ryu.
Okay, Ryan or Zach?
Zach.
London or Paris?
London.
Justin Wong or Daigo?
Daigo.
Super Street Fighter 4 or Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
Super Street Fighter 4.
Doctor Doom or Captain America?
Captain America.
Good.
West Coast.
West Coast.
Oh, don't get him into trouble.
I have to. Well,
now, I'm from Chicago. I was neutral, and now I live on the West Coast, so...
My one question has to get in trouble.
That's true. All right, I mean, are there any closing comments, anything you've noticed about a scene that you particularly like or anything like that?
I think it's fantastic, actually. I was blown away by the number of people that were here and just the good feeling in the room, good energy. So it's a very competitive thing, especially with the representatives from the different countries. But there's a good feeling in the room. This, to me, seems like a very fertile bed. I heard the numbers are up again this year. So, you know, if you can get this kind of thing wherever you are, local tournament, make it happen, do a good job running the tournament, and people will come. It'll grow, because this is such a fun environment. It's such a good place to be, that if you get good personalities involved and they can sort of spread their magic around to everyone else and just sort of set the mood, you can have a great event and let the players do their thing. You provide a venue and players want to step up their game, and your scene will improve because they want to show off for everybody else. So that's really, you guys are doing exactly what you should be doing, and this is, I was blown away.
Cool. Well, that's it from us. So
yeah, we're pretty much done. Unfortunately, I don't know much about this matter, so I couldn't commentate so much. I couldn't ask many questions. I left it to Brian. Is there any closing, like, before we leave, is there any sort of information regarding anything that's coming out in the future that you can discuss that we may not know already?
Probably. I don't know.
Allowed to discuss. I don't want you to...
There's not...
This is some real hard-hitting journalism.
There's not
watch
a
yourself,
list.
Watch yourself, yeah. Sir.
No, I don't know. I mean, I know you did quite well and you came third in the Third Strike tournament. Yeah, so we're going to try and do an amazing version of Third Strike, the online edition. So, you know, anybody that's a diehard Third Strike fan, I hope we're going to do you proud.
Quick question about that. Do you know if they're going to just upload it as it is, or are they going to adjust stuff, graphics?
That's still a question internally. So graphically, yeah, we still haven't said. So at the very minimum, you know, it's a question. Probably it won't be like an HD style, because that would be millions and millions and millions of dollars, because this Third Strike was such a beautifully animated game that redoing all those frames would probably be beyond the scope of the budget. But one possibility is sort of what we did with the Marvel 2 re-release, or a Final Fight re-release, where there's sort of HD filters over the sprites, so you can play with the original sprites if you like, or you can have them filtered where it sort of looks better on like an HD television. Potentially, yeah.
Okay.
So that's something we're still discussing. It's not baked, but that's one way to go. Very early stages.
Will Capcom give 12 a Dragon Punch and an SPD?
Yes and yes. No.
That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
You've got it. 12 is the new number one in Third Strike Online Edition.
It's now my favorite game. All right, thanks very much for your time, sir.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.